Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
As we think about just who we are in Christ, we are going to worship Him today. We're going to be a family of grace. We're going to celebrate together, and we're going to kick off the whole day with another baptism. It's like May has been the month of baptisms. And if you're joining us online today, thank you so much for spending your time with us. If you made the effort to come this morning with your family to be in person with us, thank you. First family, you've got Kinley, Kaylin, and Cohen. They all have different gifts. They all do different things in the church. And Kinley's just kind of branched out a little bit over the last couple of weeks, and I don't know, maybe more than a couple of weeks, a couple of months, coming up on stage, being a part of worship leadership. And we don't ever, you know, I always say, Dallas says, we don't take all this credit for ourselves either, because the Lord's doing all the work. But it's a big deal to me when a 14-year-old who has grown up in the church, 14, right? Not quite 15, 14, grows up in the church and has just been taught and uses our gifts and talents. And so I think that's really the first time you've just been kind of let loose to lead on your own there, which was awesome. And so I just wanted to embarrass you really big and just say thank you for letting God use you. And so I really appreciate it. Do you embarrass easily? I'll work on that. Last week we talked a little bit about the going off. It was graduation, baccalaureate Sunday, and we talked about going off and how when we go off and follow God, we don't need to go off and get angry when things don't necessarily go our way, when it doesn't look like the way we want it to look. Today we're going to talk about going off alone, the ups and downs of going off. And so you have Let me get that up there. I don't have control yet. Oh, I know. It's always behind me. God, I'm so sorry. Somebody fix that. No, I'm just kidding. There it is. You can text that to notes and to get today's sermon notes. I was just told earlier that that did not work last week, and I apologize. I don't know why. I just tested it, and it works. You can text the phone number notes to that phone number, or you can scan the QR code and get those notes for today, talking about the ups and downs of going off. So last week, just to give you a brief recap, if you weren't here or if you weren't watching, the whole idea was this man named Naaman, who had a lot of status. He was powerful in the army. He got leprosy, and God really gave direction for him of how to be healed of that leprosy. He really tried to go off and do it on his own a little bit. He wanted to do it his way, but in the end, he did follow God. And Elisha, who had prophesied over him, told him what he needed to do. And he went and dipped in the Jordan River 7 times, and he was totally healed. It wasn't just that he was restored. It says that his skin was made again like a little boy. And so it was better than it even was before the leprosy came. And that leprosy represents for us the sin in our life, and how when we go and we follow God, that we can be forgiven of that sin, we can constantly be restored and move forward in life following Him. Now today, what I really want to talk about is not just that going off by ourselves or going off the ups and downs of it, but really when we go off alone. Because last week we learned it had to be humility, perseverance, patience, obedience, and faith to be able to experience what Naaman experienced. And we all want that. I don't know about you, but we all want that experience. We want healing. We want restoration. We want to follow God. But somehow, we want to do it on our own. We think we know best. I'm the world's worst. I think I know best when it comes to what God wants for me and how I can follow Him. So now remember, just two more points from last week, is Elisha was a great prophet, okay? And when he was, when he sent word to Naaman what he needed to do, Naaman came to Elisha's house. Elisha had a servant. We really didn't talk about the servant much other than he was the messenger, and his name is Gehazi. Okay, so Gehazi is, he was so excited about Naaman. He's like, you know, Naaman shows up at the house. Remember, he's excited. They're like, oh, it's Naaman, you know, and like he looks so good. And I follow him on Instagram, and man, he looks better in person than he does even on the gram. And, you know, Elisha, you need to go out and see him. He goes, don't be impressed by all that. Just tell him what he needs to do. Here's what he needs to do. And so Gehazi goes out and he tells him. You know, and here's Naaman. I mean, he's not just showing up by himself. He's showing up with a whole entourage. I mean, he's got chariots. He's got horsemen. He's got the battle gear. It said he took 10 changes of clothes. He took all this money with him. He did all of this stuff. So it's a deal with him coming to town, okay? Maybe not quite like a presidential motorcade, but that would be the best way to describe it. So as he pulls up to the house and Gehazi goes out there and tells him, I mean, he's groveling. He tells him how good he looks. He's like, man, I love that chariot. Those are some really cool rims you got on that dude. And I mean, I don't know what he's doing, but he's going nutso. So after all this happens, Naaman goes off and he's healed. He comes back to Elisha's house. So that's what we're going to pick up today, because when he comes back to Elisha's house, some things take place, and Naaman wants to pay Elisha. He wants to gift him money and spices and treasures, all this stuff for the word of God, for the miracle of God. And Elisha says no. He goes, I'm not taking that, okay? You take all your stuff, you give thanks to God, and you go on. Okay, and so that's where we pick up today, and we're going to look in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 20 through 27. It says, But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, first of all, the whole thing that we need to focus on first is that first word, okay? But, here's Gehazi, and says, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, behold, my master has spared this Naaman, the Aramean, by not receiving from his hands what he has brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him. Remember that word, that little phrase, run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued, another word, Naaman. When Naaman saw one running after him, he came down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? Okay, he's asking. He's like, this guy's coming chasing after me. Something must be wrong. And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, just now two young men of the sons of the prophet have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of clothes. He knows what he's got with him. He knows he's rich. He knows he's got Lululemon clothes. He's got Lululemon pants. Right? He's got Under Armour. He's got, all the stuff. He's like, just give us a little bit, right? Just give us a little. And Naaman said, be pleased to take two talents. He's going to give them more. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver and two bags and two changes of clothes and gave them to his servants, and they carried him before them. When he came to the hill, he took them from their hand and he deposited them in the house, and he sent the men away and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, Elisha. Okay, and Elisha said to him, where have you been? He said, your servant went nowhere. Y'all remember that. Then he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned from his chariots to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and to receive clothes and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. So he went out from his presence as a leper, as white as snow. This whole idea of the ups and downs of going off really matter to us, especially when we go off by ourselves. Okay, now it's still kind of a great lesson on graduation and new chapters of life when we are going out on our own, when we're doing something new. So we still have a dual teaching here, but this really going off by ourselves, I want you to focus on going off without God, going off the path, going off the rails, not following Jesus anymore, but doing it your own way. And when we do this, there are things that we are going to encounter. There are going to be ups and downs. And the first one is the ups and downs of going off by ourselves will either tempt us to step down or it will inspire us to step up. It really will. And just think about Gehazi, okay? And his name, it really means a vision. It really means not that he can see into the future, but that he can see things. He can know things. He can see what God is doing and what's going on. And here he is with Elisha, one of the greatest prophets of all time. He lives with him. Right before this, some other miracles took place. There was other healing that took place. He knows what God is doing. And he knows it's not Elisha that's doing it. He knows that he doesn't have the power to do it. He knows. But yet, he does all this on his own. He goes off by himself. He goes off alone. He goes off without God. And look what it said. Remember, I pointed out, but, so you have this great dissertation about how great Elisha is and how God and how Elisha's giving God all the glory. I don't want your stuff. I don't want your clothes. I don't want your money. Look, it's not me that did this. It was God. But Gehazi, no. He goes running off after something. Not after God. He goes running off after the riches of Naaman. He goes running off after the status of Naaman. He goes running off on his own in secret. If you download the notes today, I put a great kind of the theme picture is you see this shadow on night vision of someone sneaking around. Gehazi thought he could just sneak out of Elijah's house as the servant, sneak away from the master and be deceitful and lie and do things on his own. Not godly things, but ungodly, selfish things. And Elisha knew it. See, we think, I'm not even going to put we in there. I think I can sneak off from God whenever I want to and do whatever I want to and say whatever I want to, and God's not going to know about it. How silly, how foolish. He knows everything. He knows when I rise. He knows when I sit down. He knows when I sleep. He knows when I'm awake. He knows when I'm lying. He knows when I'm telling the truth. He knows, he knows, he knows. Where can I go from you, Scripture says? Nowhere, he says. And so when you hear this, what is the stepping down? It really is Gehazi saying, oh my gosh, I see what this other person has and I want it. I can be rich. I can have, Elisha's wearing, you know, he's just wearing sackcloth and ashes most of the time, and I'm going to wear the best and the brightest that the Roman soldiers are wearing. I'm going to look good like I live in a palace. I'm still going to be poor, maybe, but I'm going to look good. But then he goes, oh no, wait a minute, he's got money with him too. I'm going to chase after the money. I'm just going to ask him for just for one gold coin. Just for one gold bar. How many of y'all would love to just have one gold bar from Fort Knox? Amen? Do you know you can't pick up one gold bar by yourself? They're so heavy. That's awesome. And he thinks that if I can just have that, it will fix everything. That's what we do. We think, not just about money and wealth, but just going off on our own. If I could just get this, if I could just do this, if I could do one more thing, if I could just have one more promotion, if I could just do this or whatever it is, then I'll be happy. Things will be better. My marriage will be better. My children will be better. I'll be able to pay my mortgage, or I can move into another house, or I could get a bigger house, or whatever it is. I don't know. We all have different things. But when we do that, we start coveting. And boy, and that's what Gehazi did. He was coveting what Naaman had. His lifestyle, his family, his 6-horsepower chariot. Some of y'all will get that later. I mean, what the rims he had, the clothing he had, the jewelry he had, I don't know, right? And he chased after it. Literally, he's running down the road after this caravan. He's running after. He sneaks out from the master who is taking care of him, who's doing God's work, who provides for him. He sneaks away from that and he goes chasing after something else. He's chasing after what Elisha has already turned down. The smart guy. The guy who knows. And here he goes chasing after him. And as he chases after him, he finds out that maybe it's not everything that it was cracked up to be, but he doesn't know it until it's too late. Why was he so attracted to what Naaman had? Because he was blinded to what God had already given him. Oh, that'll preach, won't it? He was so attracted to what somebody else had because he was blind to what God had already given him in life, all of the blessings. Right before this, Gehazi was involved in Elisha helping heal a little boy about bringing him back to life. I mean, there's all these things, and Gehazi shows up again later in Scripture. He's not unknown. He's known. But yet, he wants to go off on his own. And he was close to God. I mean, he was Elisha's servant. He was in the house, right? When the power of God was moving, he was there. Think about, sometimes the closer we get to God, sometimes the more deaf our ears become to God. Sometimes when we get closer to God, we can't see all that he's doing because we're so used to seeing it. We're so used to the blessings. We're so used to the provisions that he's provided. We're so used to the comfort that we start neglecting our relationship with him. It's just like in our personal relationships right here. We get so used to each other that we don't say please and thank you anymore. We take each other for granted. We don't really care about each other. We lose touch. We don't have the deep conversations we had. And for him, it was no different. And just, there are two disciples that fell into the same thing with Jesus, right? So there's John, who was called the disciple that Jesus loved, kind of the self-proclaimed disciple that Jesus loved. That's another day, another sermon. But still, he was close to Jesus. Matter of fact, he was so close when physically close, like at mealtime, when John and the other disciples got in an argument and John wanted to ask Jesus a question, all John had to do, now remember, they don't sit at tables with chairs, they sit at tables low on the ground, and they sit on the ground, they kind of recline, their feet are kind of propped out, and they're kind of leaning over, and all he had to do, he was so close to Jesus, he just had to lean back and whisper in Jesus's ear. That's close. And John, I mean, there's a good disciple. There's somebody that loved him and cared for him. He stepped up. Guess who sat on the other side of Jesus at the Last Supper? So close that Jesus said, the one that's going to betray me is going to dip his bread in the cup, basically, that I am holding. Judas. Jesus is dipping in the cup, and Judas is dipping in the cup. Both sides, so close to Jesus. Both had the vision, both had the knowledge, maybe not the understanding, but both were so close. And yet one followed Jesus and another, Judas, went off on his own, right? Remember the story? He snuck away from the rest of the group and went and talked to the Pharisees, went and talked to the religious leaders. He sold out to betray Jesus. Gehazi sneaking off, thinking he was doing it by himself. Jesus knew. Elisha knew. Why do we think we can get away with it and somebody not know? Why do we think we can go off from God and him not know? Gehazi, greed, lying, betrayal, all of the things. It was not about the money, by the way. Let me just tell you, Elisha did not care about the money. Elisha didn't ask for the money back. Elisha didn't say, go give that to the poor. Elisha didn't say, get those clothes off and I want to wear those, right? He didn't say any of that. He didn't say, go chase back after him and give all that back. He didn't say any of that. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the clothes. It was about the fact that what Elisha had done to honor the Lord, to point Naaman to God, that Gehazi had taken away. That Gehazi had cheapened, that Gehazi had disgraced. Because there's two other things that happen, the ups and downs of going off, is either we are going to repeat the same things that we've always done And those things are not always good, or we're going to repent and we are going to continue to follow Jesus. Because here's what I know about sinfulness. And you can all agree, I know, at some point in your life. Anybody told that little white lie? I need some hands raised in the room, please. Or, you know, I say, yeah, there's some right there. How come all the kids were really quick to raise their hands and all the parents kept theirs down? Children, they just told a lie just right then, yes. We all do it. Somewhere along the way, okay? And when we do, though, how many of you can just really confess in your heart, if not with your mouth right now, that one never turned into two? And there wasn't a follow-up of three. And there wasn't a, oh my gosh, I got to create a fourth one to cover up the first one, the second one, and the third one. I got to keep this going, and I got to keep this going, right? Here's what I know about the sinfulness of our lives. Here's what I know about going off on our own, going off alone without God, is when we do that, we fall into one trap after another. We fall into one sin that's going to cause us to lead into another sin, that's going to cause us to go into another sin, that's going to force us in our own heart and mind to commit another sin, and it just goes off. It's a downward spiral. It's not that you can't pull up and get out of that, but it is a downward spiral that will end in disaster, will end in a crash and burn that we all have to remember that is coming eventually for all of us if we don't repent. Because the repentance part just leads to forgiveness. It leads to freedom, right? It leads to, here's Naaman, the whole point of his healing was the fact that he would eventually repent. He would eventually say that, I am sorry that I tried to go off on my own. I'm sorry that I went to the king first. I'm sorry that I challenged Elisha and I was mad and I went off in a rage, it said. But yet, when he repented and he relented, maybe that's what I should have put up there as a third point, is he relented and allowed God to move and work in his life, and healing happened and restoration happened. And he went off, and it says that because, really, Elisha didn't take all that, he didn't take the gifts, he didn't take credit for it, that's when Naaman said, in his heart of hearts, I know there is a God in Israel that is more powerful than all other gods. The God in Israel that is the one true and living God. He said, I will never bow down to another idol. I will never offer false worship. I will never do these other things. I will only worship God. And it was because, not just of his healing, but because Elisha didn't take credit for it and gave it to somebody else. Elisha didn't go off on his own. Really, what Naaman was offering was winning the lottery financially for Elisha. And he turned it down to give it to God, to give credit to God. See, and then Gehazi, though, lying about Naaman, that may not have been a big deal to him. Naaman was a foreigner. I mean, he didn't like Naaman. He didn't like that culture. He didn't like that race of people. He got, whatever I can take for him is fine. But when his master confronted him, when God confronts us, well, it's time to fess up. It's time to understand who we are in Christ and just say, I fell short. I intentionally ignored you. I intentionally lied to you. I intentionally tried to do this on my own, Lord. Please forgive me. And when we do that, he says, okay, let's learn from this. And there are going to be some consequences for this, but I still love you and I still care for you, and you are still my daughter, and you are still my son, and you are still saved. But when we do like Gehazi did and just say no, you know, he gave him a chance, right? Parents, don't you love this? How many parents in the room? Oh, I love this. This is one of my favorite parts about being a parent. How many of you know that when you're asking your child a question, they don't think you already know the answer? Isn't it awesome? You're just like, yeah. So where were you last night? Oh, I wasn't out doing anything, really? You know, or whatever. For Gehazi, where have you been? Nowhere. Got him. He asked the question already knowing the answer because, number one, he's Elisha, he's a prophet. But number one, God was showing him He was showing him what Gehazi had done. He was showing him the sin. Folks, why should we hide our sin when God already knows? Why should we try to hide that from him when he already knows? Why would we burden ourselves with that? Why would we take on what Gehazi took on when he lied to Elisha? He took on the sin, because here's what it is. Ooh, light bulb for me just now. When we think that we can keep our sin, when we can take our sin on for ourselves, we are really saying that we are the Messiah. We're saying that we're good enough. We're strong enough. We have the status. We have the know-it-all. We have the everything that we can take on the sin, and we don't have to worry about anything else. We don't need forgiveness. We don't need repentance. We don't need confession. We don't need freedom. I'm strong enough. No, we're not strong enough. And that's what Elisha was saying. You think you're strong enough? You think you're strong enough to be like Naaman? You think you're strong enough to take on that hurt and that heartache and that sinfulness? Fine, here it is. You and your descendants, now you're going to have the leprosy that Naaman was healed of. Sound mean? Sound awful? Maybe. But Jesus took on the sinfulness for us. He took on that leprosy. He took on all of that hurt and that heartache. He took on all of our deceitfulness and our lying. He took on all that upon himself because he knew we weren't strong enough. Why are you and I arguing with Jesus to take it back from him? You talk about stupid. You talk about insanity. You talk about deceiving ourselves like we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Let's don't do that, because when we try to take advantage of God, the prayer of God through Jesus Christ is that we will always be found out. We don't hide anything. Where can I go from you, Lord? Nowhere. Right? Nowhere. But yet, in that moment, for Gehazi and everybody around him, they learned. And sometimes we have to learn. We need perspective. This weekend for us, and I'm not going to tell the story, but we had a friend right after graduation have a heart attack in the parking lot after graduation. And you talk about bringing perspective to everything that's going on in life. And he's going to recover, and he's fine. But everybody got perspective. They saw the great Naaman fall from his greatness into leprosy, and God restore him. You talk about perspective. They saw Gehazi, who was the servant of the greatest prophet of all time, fall and receive the punishment that came with that. Two totally opposite outcomes, all because of one choice: to follow God, to go off and follow God, or to go off alone. What are we going to do? How are we going to live? We must never expect anything for ourselves that God doesn't provide. We should never, in all of us, become tired and weary of doing the work of the Holy Spirit or watching the work of the Holy Spirit in other people's lives. And we should never, ever desire anything but to see the goodness of God that we just sang about working around us, in us, and through us. Don't go off by yourselves. Don't go off alone. Even Scripture says, right? God said himself, it is not good for humans to be alone. Not just us in this room together, not just as a husband and wife, right? Not just in that idea, but for us to be alone without him. It is not good. So let's stop trying to do it alone. Let's stop trying to go off alone. Let's chase after the goodness of God. Let's chase after him and see what he's doing for us and see where he's working in our lives. So as you go today, I want you to go off, okay? And even for Macy and graduation, you know, as hard as it is, she needs to, as hard as it is for mom and dad, she needs to go off out from underneath us and learn to live, right, following Christ. And if we, all of us, even for Adriana, how old is she now? 10 months? Woo, long way to go. Right? But if we do our part, like Elisha did his part for Naaman and for even Gehazi, then when they do go off, man, they will launch and they will go off well. And they will go off chasing after the Lord and not chasing after the riches of the world, not chasing after what Naaman had physically, but what Naaman found spiritually. Let that be true for all of us. Lord, that's my prayer today. Well, that's my prayer for me. It's my prayer for my family. That's my prayer for our family of faith. That's my prayer for anybody that's a friend, an enemy, an acquaintance, a stranger, a disciple of yours, or a stranger to you. Father, they don't know who you are yet. Lord, my prayer is that our actions, the face that we give to the world, Lord, the words that we speak, Lord, that it would reflect upon you, your goodness. Lord, that it would reflect upon you, everything about you that wants to lead somebody into eternity. Father, it was not good for Gehazi to try to, connect himself to Naaman. Even though Naaman was a new Christian, Naaman was living in a foreign land. Gehazi needed to connect himself to you. Father, for all of us, Lord, we should not try to connect ourselves to somebody outside of the kingdom of which you have placed us. We should have influence, but Father, don't let us be influenced by them. We should have influence over the world. Father, we are not of the world. Lord, we are of you. So Lord, give us your heart. Give us your mind. Lord, as Ashley said 2 weeks ago, let us know that because of Jesus Christ, that's enough. We are enough in you. So Father, I make my prayer in the powerful name of Jesus. Lord, that you would just make it so in our lives, our children's lives, and in the days to come, Father, as life comes at us. Lord, if we need to go dip in the river, let's go. Lord, let us follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would y'all stand?
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.